There's been a lot of excitement around heat pumps, a green alternative to traditional gas-powered systems. Heat pumps bring us closer to meeting our climate goals in Toronto. They're also more cost-effective. But only 4% of people in Ontario actually own one. And though usage is rising, what's more popular is still a forced gas furnace. Take it from Tony, who I met in an Uber.
I used to have a heat pump, but it probably was an older system. What happens, I found that it could never warm up the house. I would always have to go to emergency heat.
Tony Contardi is a homeowner himself. He lives in Woodbridge now, but back when he lived in the city at his old place, he had a heat pump.
But I have a few friends of mine that are in this business. They're in the HVAC business.
What do they think about it?
They told me stay away from it.
They told you to stay away?
Yeah. My brother-in-law decided he wanted to get a heat pump, you know, whatever, government rebate, whatever. And I asked my buddy, I said, buddy, you know, I said, Frank, what do you think? He says, tell him to stay away from it. He didn't, he decided to go anyway. And now he's complaining about it.
Heat pumps use electricity to heat and cool your home. You can think of them kind of like a backwards air conditioner. They were available on the market 10 years ago, but couldn't handle anything below negative 10 degrees. Not exactly built for Canadian winters. That's what Michelle York told us. She works out of the Toronto-based company Energy Neighbor, whose mission is making clean energy retrofits more accessible to homeowners. That means as an energy advisor, she's helping people navigate government regulations and grants that could cover some of the upfront costs of heat pumps, and performing an energy audit, which finds out how much energy the home needs to keep it warm or cool, depending on the season. An energy audit will also determine whether any energy in your house is going to waste. Here's Michelle York.
Part of it is our home is a system. And so if you think, you know, I have a furnace that's end of life, so I would really like to get a heat pump. But I need to make sure that the heat pump is going to be the right size for my home and that it's going to sufficiently heat it.
Newer models function now more efficiently in colder climates, she says, anywhere from negative 25 to negative 30 degrees Celsius.
There's a general increase in awareness about heat pumps, people being interested, people knowing that they should be prepared for a heat pump, look into it.
Someone like Tony Contardi wants to be more green, but he's not so convinced that heat pumps are the future.
But, you know, the government, you know, rebates, they're trying to be more green. Mm-hmm. It is true, less greenhouse gases.
Right. Trying to reduce emissions.
Yes, that is true. But I don't know if they're there yet with the heat pumps.
They're not as effective as
they could. I don't think they're there yet. Not yet. That's my opinion.
But another homeowner who lives in Toronto's West End is having the opposite experience. After buying a bungalow in Runnymede, Catherine Schultz and her husband made the switch to a heat pump last year. When they moved in, the air conditioner was already 25 years old, the water heater was a rental, and the furnace was midlife. When we spoke with her in January, she told us retrofitting her home was the best option.
Once you get an energy audit and you find out how truly tragic your house is, then you're going to be more motivated to keep going.
And motivated she was. To retrofit her house, she got an air heat pump, a water heat pump installed, and replaced her windows. Properly insulating her home was also an energy saver.
I don't think people understand. They think like little cracks in their house with leaks. Mm-hmm. No, like this is old Toronto housing stock. If you're leaking like a sieve, like how efficient are you going to be?
We came by and paid her a visit. It was one of the coldest days in January. We wanted to see how the heat pump held up.
Hi, Mia.
Hello,
How are you?
Are
you frozen to death?
It's not very exciting, so get ready.
You're like, I want to see something really exciting.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, it looks like a giant air conditioner, sorry.
Someone comes and calculates your the heat load you need for your house. And one of the things that a lot of people talk about around heat pumps is the fact that it's much more efficient than your furnace. Obviously, that's why people are putting them in.
Yeah.
Because it's usually sized better for your house. So your furnace tends to be usually too much mm-hmm. for your house, but that's what you get. And then it usually has one or two speed, like two speeds. It goes nothing or it goes
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so that also makes it inconsistent. Whereas this is much more sensitive. And so it's just sized the right way and it's balanced the right way. The house feels more even.
What about like personal motivations? Would you consider yourself to be an environmentally...
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a cautious person.
An environmental activist, I would consider myself to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we have grandkids, and we have three grandkids. Two of them are in daycare. And one of the things we noticed over the last couple of years is the amount of time that they're actually spending inside at daycare in the summer. Because the air quality isn't good enough, or it's too hot for them to be outside playing where they should be. And the thing I would say to homeowners in terms of thinking this through is, okay, so your furnace broke down, right? Your air conditioner's old, your water heater's old, right? These appliances age out. The thing about these appliances is that they age out. When you re-up with a new appliance, that appliance, you're gonna be with that appliance for 15 to 20 years. That means you're reconnecting yourself to fossil fuels for 15 to 20 years. Like, I do not want to make those kind of connections, right? I think most people, if they thought of it that way, would say, oh yeah, actually, I don't want to reconnect to fossil fuels for the next 15 to 20 years.
The primary source of planet-warming greenhouse gases in Toronto are from homes and buildings. That's according to the city's website. Part of the city's climate strategy is to make reductions to those greenhouse gas emissions and be accountable for what people are emitting, which homeowners like Catherine took into consideration when doing renovations on her home.
And really, like, is your HVAC system sexy, like renovating your bathroom? Is it? You know, or your kitchen? Of course it isn't. That's, you know what I mean? It's not sexy. But at the end of the day, it's not sexy to go outside and not be able to breathe.
Now, not everybody has the luxury of time. Our energy advisor for this story, Michelle Yort, said we are creatures of habit. We like doing what's familiar to us. For a lot of people, that's continuing to use the systems we've used before. Because if it's not broken, why fix it?
Like, a lot of us, there's shoulds in our life. Like, I really should make my home more energy efficient, but maybe I'll do it tomorrow, you know? And, even people who are very educated and informed, they don't necessarily know how their HVAC works, you know? And so, it's very easy to put off things where we're not that knowledgeable, or it feels like it could be a bit of a time suck. So yeah, it's something that's easy to not do.
For most Toronto homes, the upfront cost for an air source heat pump can be anywhere from $14,000 to $22,000 before taxes and any applicable government funding. Money is definitely a deterrent. Looking at the latest RBC financial flexibility poll, most people in Ontario can agree that everyday living costs are out of control.
It's always the case. If you're a homeowner, you have ongoing maintenance, your furnace fails, you've got to replace it. Your roof goes out, you've got to replace it. And the heat pump's no different, but it costs more than a furnace.
City staff have said that multiple actions on a global, federal, and provincial scale impact Toronto's ability to successfully meet climate standards. Specifically, the federal government failed to renew programs like the Canada Greener Homes Grant that help Canadians make retrofits with no upfront cost. This saw a lot of success in the Maritimes, Prince Edward Islanders in particular. PEI installed more than 12,000 heat pumps since that federal program launched in early 2023. Regional reports from the LJI indicated more than 8,000 applicants were in queue this time last year for that grant. For Torontonians, newly added funding to the city's home energy program is helping fill some of those gaps in subsidies. That's the program Catherine took advantage of.
Would you have been able to afford to do something like this without the city's program?
No, we couldn't have done it. We would have done something much smaller at the end of the day. That's what would have happened to us.
Yeah, and it would have taken us a lot longer to get to this level of retrofit. When you look at the statistics for us, and we were part of a Toronto Hydro case study, so they actually did analyze our energy use. So we're saving 16% in our energy costs in an annual basis.
That's why heat pumps are a valued solution. When Catherine decarbonized her home, she cut down on almost half of her greenhouse gas emissions. There were upfront costs, sure. But between government rebates, reasonable interest fees, and a low-maintenance system, Catherine says the case study confirmed she'll save more than $11,000 over the life of the appliance. So that's anywhere over the next 15 to 20 years.
So what? $450 a year. It doesn't sound like that much money. However, $450 a year over the life of the appliance in 15 years, and that's conservative, right? Because it'll probably be 20. So now the numbers are starting to add up a bit more.
James Nolan is the executive director of the Environment, Climate, and Forestry Division for the city. In an email to Met Radio, he said the city assisted 40 homes with heat pump installations through just over $1 million in financing in 2025. He estimated the new funding in the 2026 budget would support at least 1,000 homeowners with installations over the next 4 years. Now, while it's a step in the right direction, climate justice advocate Hao Sin Chong says the city can't sustain this alone. In order to expand the program further and make it more available to people, the city needs to collaborate more with provincial and federal governments, too.
The challenge is we're going to need these types of resources at a much, much larger scale. And that will require not just support from the city, but support from all levels of government in order to help building owners and renters and homeowners be able to afford these energy upgrades and heat pumps that will actually help make homes more comfortable and, in most cases, more affordable to run.
Hao Sin Chong is a climate campaigner with the Toronto Environmental Alliance. They're a city movement that's encouraging council to adopt greener, healthier, and more equitable solutions. It is no secret that Toronto is behind on its net zero targets, a point of contention when the city met to review its climate strategy in November. A recent fall report from the Atmospheric Fund found emissions were going up, not down. Chong and I talked about heat pumps and where they fit in here. We also talked more about what the city could be doing to cut down carbon emissions when they look at this budget to meet those ambitious targets, or whether that's still a possibility at all anymore. Here's more of that conversation.
If the targets are flatlining, does that mean the city's efforts to reduce carbon emissions through the programs like the home managing loan aren't working? And what shifts in funding and financing does the Toronto Environmental Alliance want to see to be able to get us there? Is that even a possibility anymore to meet those goals?
It's going to be hard, but it is possible. Right now, as we speak, there are already every year billions and billions of investments all across the city. And we do need to redirect around $5 to $10 billion a year to things like energy retrofits, decarbonization, money that would have been spent anyways into areas that are just more energy efficient and will decarbonize buildings and make things more affordable. That's absolutely possible. For example, one of the key decision points for any large building owner or any homeowner is, a furnace has a lifespan of 20 years. Every single year, there are furnaces, thousands and thousands of furnaces that are at the end of their life. And so it's important to the best as we can to make sure that those furnaces are switched over to non-carbon sources as opposed to something that's carbon intensive. And so these are the types of small decisions that need to be made, but it also needs to be supported by large amounts of investment and by key decisions and policies that move large amounts of money, large amounts of investments to make it much easier for people to make those individual decisions for their individual buildings and their individual homes.
Chong says this is challenging work, but it's still possible to meet those targets by 2030. He's seen a lot of interest on the ground, neighborhoods organizing heat pump parties where they can learn how installations work from their community. And in city buildings like the Etobicoke Olympian, that's currently undergoing a deep retrofit. But he says there's still more work to do, particularly when it comes to educating people about climate change in a Field of Dreams type fashion.
If you build it, you will come.
Climate disinformation isn't new. According to a report from McGill University, survey responses from 2024 saw that most Canadians believe in climate change, but less than half believe they are currently impacted by climate change. We asked Hao Sun Chong about this mentality. Here's his response.
Oil and gas companies have polluted the political space. They've made it seem as if climate action is more controversial than it actually is. They've actively sowed disagreement. They've actually funded junk science, and they've actually funded fake grassroots organizations to make people think that climate change isn't actually real. So through this political pollution that's been financed through fossil fuel corporations, that has led to a decrease in a lot of the action over the past couple of decades that we could have been taking. But now I think a lot of people are understanding what's been happening. And I think now people are realizing that we have to move forward. We have to work together, and all levels of government need to come in and support all Canadians and Torontonians to do things like decarbonize their homes and their workplaces and their lives. And when we do that, we're going to make it a lot easier for people to live, a lot more affordable for people to live, and make the air a lot cleaner for people to breathe. And that's ultimately something I think everybody can get along with.
Thank you so much for your time, Hassan. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mia.
Extreme heat is now much more frequent. Toronto saw more than 20 days of heat above 30 degrees Celsius last summer. To hit Canada's climate targets, research from the Canadian Climate Institute shows that more than 10% of heating in Canada must come from heat pumps by 2030. And while that seems like a long time, 2030 is just under 4 years away now. This story was fact-checked by Kinza Zafar. We're broadcasting out of Met Radio CJTM 1280 in downtown Toronto. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Mia Johnson.